It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So your life's dream has always been to send something to the moon. Well, thanks to a Pittsburgh company called Astrobotic, you may soon have your chance. Astrobotic is introducing a new service called Moon Mail that will allow individuals to send their keepsakes to the surface of the moon. But with whose permission and for what purpose? I'm joined now in Studio A by the CEO of Astrobotic, John Thornton. John, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. Good to see you.
So what does Astrobotic do exactly?
So Astrobotic is a lunar logistics company. What we do is we take packages from around the world, we bolt them up onto our lander, which is our delivery truck, and we deliver packages to the moon. So we're just like FedEx or UPS, but we deliver to the moon.
And why is this service important to have? Who was interested in doing this in the first place?
So there's organizations from around the world and people from around the world that want to go to the moon. Historically, what we've seen is governments and large space agencies being the only ones that are capable of landing on the surface of the moon. What we are doing is creating a service that's affordable, that's possible for organizations from around the world to have a piece of a mission and actually go to the moon themselves, do science or exploration, be a part of a big story, and ultimately potentially inspire a next generation. So there's lots of stories, lots of reasons to go, and we've seen incredible interest and demand from around the world.
So you're saying there's a lot of demand for this?
That's right.
And tell me about the house that somebody in Sweden wants to put up there. And apparently this thing goes up all by itself. It's small, but it's a real house that would be on the moon. What's up with that?
Sure. We've seen all kinds of creative, exciting ideas. This one from Sweden, they want to send a house to the moon. They want to. There's a very popular house in Sweden with a red house with white gables. What they wanted to do was commemorate that because they've been building them for hundreds of years, and they wanted to send up a small version of that to the surface of the moon. So we've seen all kinds of different stories, different ways to have people interact with the moon and have some meaning come out of the moon and for people to connect to it. That's what's been really exciting and to see how creative people are and see what that comes out to.
Are you involved at all in you're providing the vehicle for people to put things on the moon, but are you at all involved in advising them? Do you ever, you know, John, when you somebody, let's say, for example, the people in Sweden that want to put the house there, did you ever say to them, well, okay, why make it a traditional house? I think maybe what you ought to do is come up with something that's new and different and experimental and see if it works up there. And if it works up there, it could, you know, where there's no wind, then maybe we can put that somewhere down here on Earth. You know, that kind of thing. Do you advise them in that way at all?
So what we do is we're about making the moon accessible. We don't want to tell people how to do it or what they can and can't send.
You're just there to be like...
We are there to make the dreams happen, to make what people want to do on the moon reality. Historically, the barrier has been massive to get to the moon. You needed to be a government or you needed to be working at NASA to be a part of a moon mission. And what we are doing is making that accessible to organizations around the world. And now with our Moon Mail offering, you can make that accessible to the individual. So people all around the world can be a part of a mission that actually lands on the moon.
Now, if I want to FedEx something to Europe, I know what I have to do. I know how much that costs. If I want to send something to the moon, how do I do it? And how much is it going to cost me?
Sure. So there depends on what you want to send. What we are offering, launching today with Moon Mail, is the ability for individuals from around the world to log onto our website, moonmail.co, and you can look and figure out what size package that you need. And it's a flat rate box. so you pick your box size to fit your object, and the pricing is all on the website. Prices start at $460. To literally take a package and land your object on the surface of the moon.
$460.
That's the starting price, and ranges all the way up to large scales, and it just depends on the size of the object that you want to send.
So, like, if I'm the people from Sweden and I want to put the house up there, what's that going to cost me?
It depends on the size of the house. So if they want to do a large, you know, meters by meters house, then they would probably be part of our more traditional payload offering. So there's kind of like a freight offering, which is large scale packages. And then there's one that's designed for individuals. And these are small scale packages on order of inches.
Now, you mentioned, you said that there have been government barriers to the moon. And I'm wondering, isn't that for a reason? Doesn't somebody need to sort of be the overseers and who ultimately gets to say who gets to put stuff on the moon?
That's a great question. The moon is almost like the Wild West right now. It's not claimed by any individual nation. It's accessible and available for everyone. There's no one governing body that says what can and cannot be put on the moon. In order to launch something into space, though, there are many organizations here on Earth, including FAA, the State Department, NOAA, NASA. You have to go through all of these agencies to fly in the first place. So that's the checks that we do to get there. But once you're on the surface of the moon, it's essentially the Wild West. It's wide open, and it remains to be seen what people will do with it.
The aforementioned organizations, they have given you permission to do this?
That's right.
And what is your business model for this?
Our model is like FedEx to the moon. So we literally take packages from around the world. We bolt them up on our lander, and we charge per pound. And in this case, for the offering for people around the world who want to send mementos or keepsakes, we actually offer a volume, a size. So, you know, send a wedding ring to the surface of the moon, or send a memento, a coin maybe perhaps that is representative of a life milestone. It's really been a remarkable response that we've seen, and we've heard some really fantastic stories from people, really heartfelt, emotional stories that really makes it really important, I think, to be able to send things to the surface of the moon. The moon is always in the sky. It's all around the world. It's all around us always. So it's a forever reminder of what you want to send to the moon.
We are Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA, talking about a Pittsburgh company called Astrobotic. The CEO of Astrobotic, John Thornton, is with us here on the program. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and this is a fascinating concept. Where do you actually stand today versus your aspirations? For example, what do you have that's physically been built and tested? How far along are you in this process?
Yeah, so earlier this year, we had some really fantastic technical milestones. We actually flew a rocket-propelled vehicle out in the Mojave Desert, did three flights. We went up to 250 meters in altitude and came down from there. So that's testing our terminal descent system, making sure that our guidance, navigation, and control is all working, that we don't accidentally land on a rock or a slope or anything that could interfere with a safe landing. So that was all very successful. You can think about that like our astronaut in a box that's flying the spacecraft. We have a space-qualified hardware that's sitting in our lab right now that is the bones, the structure of the vehicle. And we are about to be able to announce some big propulsion, additional propulsion developments that will be coming up the next few weeks. We've got five customers signed up, large-scale customers signed up for Mission 1 already. We've got interest for many, many years out into the future from all different payloads of all different sizes and shapes. It's really, really fantastic what's come out of this.
And what's so you've got customers lined up, and so what is the timeline? When will this happen?
So we anticipate landing on the moon sometime in the next 2 years, and we will be making a more fine-tuned announcement on that next week. So stay tuned for that.
And how does the launching work? Where will you launch from?
Yeah, so the way it works is that we buy a launch vehicle. Our launch vehicle of choice is a Falcon 9, SpaceX Falcon 9 launch vehicle. Launches out of Florida.
How big is it? What does
it look like? It's a 200-foot-tall, million-pound-force thrust vehicle. It's got a fairing or it's just an aerodynamic enclosure that's on top, and that's where our spacecraft goes inside of. Our spacecraft is about a 2,500-kilogram vehicle that will get thrown towards the moon. It's a 4.5-day trip to the moon. And then once we're close to the moon, we brake and slow down. We drop into lunar orbit. And then we brake once again, and then we descend down toward the surface. And our first landing site is at a place called Lacus Mortis, which translates to Lake of Death. So it sounds dramatic. But the reason that we go there—
Where is that in relation to, say, the Sea of Tranquility, where Apollo 11 landed in 1969?
Yeah, so the Sea of Tranquility is a little—it's basically centered on the moon. It's very close to 0-0. So the center of the moon, as we see it in the sky, is 0-0. If you go about halfway up is 45 degrees, and then a little to the right is 25 degrees. So 45 and 25 is where Lacus Mortis is. And the reason that we go there is there's a very unique feature there called a skylight, which is actually, we think, an entryway to a cave underneath the surface of the moon. So what better perfect place to be than what we think could be a future settlement for humans?
You know, when you think back to when man first landed on the moon in 1969 and Neil Armstrong got out and he said, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. You know, there's all these great ambitions. And as Robert Klein, the comedian, pointed out, think of the money he could have made if he jumped out there and said Coca-Cola or something like that. You know, but he chose to go with something that was, you know, much more a benefit to mankind and the philosophy of why we're doing this. So as you look at the way this is evolving now, is the spaceflight industry evolving into a form of interstellar trucking? What's happening here? Where does this fit in with the big ambitions of decades ago?
Yeah, so I think where space is headed is that decades and decades we've seen governments pushing the edges of what's possible in space, and now now it's fairly routine to have satellites orbiting our Earth and giving us communication. Satellite radio, satellite TV, all sorts of different GPS, all sorts of different services that are offered in space, and that's become regular and normal. We see that the human the footprint is actually just expanding outward from Earth. And we think that the moon is the next natural step. We think that governments will always be the leading spear, the tip of the spear to push further and further. NASA landed first on the moon. Commercial will be the next to follow on. And I think ultimately it will be some interstellar freight. And the moon is destination one.
Is this about scientific exploration or is it mostly commercial?
Commercial is just a way to do all of those things that you want to do on the moon. So our offering is also available to NASA. NASA actually has a contract with us for part of our first mission. It is about it's lowering the barriers. It's about making the moon accessible to individuals, to companies and organizations from around the world, and also space agencies. Imagine if we had 10 landings in the next 5 years on the moon. Some of that might be marketing, some of that might be individuals, some of that might be commercials, and there would also be some serious real science and exploration that would be done. So just by the mere fact of being able to go there regularly is lowering the barrier to entry and increasing what's possible on the moon.
And ultimately, from your standpoint, what makes this worth doing for you?
We think it's important for humanity to get beyond Earth. At the end of the day, people are driven by curiosity and driven by the fundamental drive to understand and discover new things. And we think the moon is just the next frontier. And we want to be on the ground floor of pushing that humanity to the next step.
John Thornton is the CEO of Astrobotic, joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh. John, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. As the year comes to an end, we're looking back on highlights of Essential Pittsburgh from 2014 and airing listener favorites. To vote, go to our website, WESA.FM, and click on the Vote for the Best of Essential Pittsburgh 2014. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.